Unlike ISIS, the mission of the terrorist group Boko Haram in northern Nigeria is unclear or unknown. Their leader taunts Nigerian authorities with threats to sell women into slavery. The kidnapping of hundreds of schoolgirls as a protest against Western education for women is a brutal, if somewhat vague, attack on Nigerian society. What does Boko Haram want, and who is eager to help them get it? Joining us now is William Wallace, Africa editor for the Financial Times. He says it comes down to a promise of paradise to young men who have no future. Is that about it, William?
Having met some of these guys who've been in prison for the past 4 years, and having heard their stories, I think the leadership of the group does draw from a pool of impoverished people, often illiterate, young men who are frustrated and I think essentially bored is what they were saying, and they're looking for a way out. Boko Haram comes along and says they can go to paradise if they participate in this jihad. And I think a lot of those young guys with little education believe that's possible.
What was it like to speak to them?
Well, it was curiously normal. I got into this prison compound and there were about 50 prisoners there, most of them self-confessed members of Boko Haram and other terrorist groups. And they were actually playing volleyball. And they looked like a normal bunch of young men, to be honest. But speaking with them was kind of fascinating because very few people, in the media at least, have had the opportunity to actually sit down and ask them their stories.
And were these people defectors or were they just captured in the course of Nigerian campaigns against Boko Haram? I mean, have they recanted, that sort of thing?
Well, there was one guy who had been running a laundrette business in the city of Kano, and he was a member of a splinter group affiliated with Boko Haram, and he was crossing the north of the country to go and visit his family, in fact, when he was stopped at a military roadblock and recognized as a member of the group. And he then went through multiple detention centers and ended up at this prison where I met him.
You mentioned that one individual was really looking for some group that met his sort of internal jihadist template, some idea that he had, and hunted for quite a while and then found Boko Haram as a perfect match.
That's correct. We're speaking about the same guy here who originally joined a Nigerian group named after the Afghan Taliban. And that group actually started an armed insurrection all the way back in 2003. But it was crushed very quickly by the security forces then. And the surviving members then went to follow Boko Haram, which in its original guise was actually a non-violent movement.
Do these people believe that Boko Haram can be defeated, will be defeated? Do they think that the group is on the defensive in any sense?
Well, we've seen in the last few months that the Nigerian army, together with neighboring armies and also some mercenaries, has had much more success on the battlefield driving these guys out of towns that they held. But what the most senior member of the group who I spoke to in prison said was that essentially there was a lot of unhappiness within the group about the current leadership. And he said that one way to end this conflict is to encourage splits within the movement so that the current leadership, which has taken the group on such a path of carnage and destruction, might be sort of toppled, essentially.
You've described the story of radicalization among young men in Nigeria. What is the story of de-radicalization? How does that work?
It's really interesting because a lot of the coverage of this conflict has spoken about the terrible human rights abuses committed actually by the Nigerian security forces over the past few years and the dreadful conditions in prisons and military detention centers where suspected Boko Haram members are held. What I found fascinating about this program is that it's a kind of the flip side of that. It shows that there has been a very well thought out and serious attempt by parts of the Nigerian government to put together a program to deal with the thousands of combatants that they have in captivity now, and also to actually on the ground in across northern Nigeria to devise a strategy of counter-radicalization as well, which will stop these guys getting into these groups in the first place.
Did you get a sense that any of the individuals you spoke to could go back home and be amongst their former friends and neighbors and family?
Well, from what I could see, the combination of religious counseling from learned imams, psychological counseling, and also vocational training, together with the fact that they've been encouraged to play sports, which Boko Haram bans normally, it is actually working after a few months on these particular characters. But they had been in prison for several years already. I think it's going to be much tougher for the authorities to de-radicalize people who've come straight off the battlefield, so to speak.
William Wallace, thanks so much.
Thank you, too.
William Wallace, Africa editor for the Financial Times, speaking to us from London.